All Request Friday, a little kick axe here on the Green Zone. We're carrying on with our theme from yesterday when Jamie Campbell was pondering a Saskatchewan road trip playlist. So we put one together for him, sent it his way. He tweeted back. He's quite grateful for it. And we're keeping it rolling. Those Saskatchewan bands, songs that have you thinking Saskatchewan here on a Friday. 1-877-332-8255.
I'm still getting requests, too, for additions to the playlist, too.
You can send those in at 1-877-332-8255. Meanwhile, air quality watch continues in Regina. The air quality has been really bad. Then it got good again for about a half an hour to an hour. Now the air quality is starting to go back up again into around 8, which is when you'd have to call a delay to the game or something like that. So,
what if it's right at 8?
Nope. It's 8 or above. If it's at 8, too bad, so sad.
So 7.99, we're good. Let's
I think
go.
They round up. I believe they round up
okay.
to 8. Maybe Taylor Shire knows. Regina Leader Post, Saskatchewan
You're
Rough Rider Reporter.
To pass the buck
I am trying to pass the buck to Taylor Shire. What if it is 7.9? Do they play Taylor?
Above. That was sort of, I think 7 is kind of the threshold, but maybe if it is 7.51, then they will round up. They're going to do whatever, like, right? Like we've seen this at the preseason. They're going to wait until the last possible moment to, you know, they obviously didn't have to cancel it, but they're going to do whatever they can to not postpone, cancel, delay the game. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to see what it's like. And really, what as I said earlier, Taylor, when they're going to make that decision is when warm-ups would start. And if they can't go out for warm-ups, well, you're going to have to delay it because the players need a proper warm-up. It's not like they're just going to,
it's
7. Get out there and play a football game with no warm-up. So.
Well, it's worth mentioning, too, because people are wondering about, you know, when we're going to hear more. And so the fact that the warm-up is included in that is worth mentioning out loud. When do they usually start? Like a 7 o'clock start, Jamie, they're out there by 6-ish.
Taylor, what I'm trying to think of the preseason game. I think our pregame show had already started, and we were like half an hour in. It was like an hour and a half or an hour or 2 hours before the game when they said, no, we're going to delay it till 8 o'clock. So,
it was an hour and a half before kickoff when they said they're going to delay it.
So, all right, we'll keep everybody up to date. But meanwhile, Taylor, this is a heck of a matchup tonight with the Stampeders and the Rough Riders, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know if many people had this as sort of the marquee matchup in week 6. Many thought heading into the season, at least, many thought Calgary was going to be near the bottom. Saskatchewan, I think many thought they would be at the top, but as it turns out, it's sort of it's an early first place battle. There's still a lot of season to be played, but the winner of this game will move into top spot in the West for the time being.
Taylor, I saw your piece on Tommy Tsunami. By the way, he likes that nickname.
He was just being nice to you.
He said no to the tugboat, Taylor. He doesn't like tugboat, but he said Tsunami is good. He said, I think he also added in there, I'm not really going to
name myself.
Tell people what to call me as far as a nickname goes. Can you explain the gummy bear superstition to us? Just for those of you who may have missed your piece?
Yeah, you can check it out on leaderpost.com. But every week we do an up-close Q&A with one of the players on the Rough Riders. We've done a number so far. This week was Tommy Stevens. Back in college, he was at Penn State. He was walking to his game. Obviously had a bag of gummy bears. I don't know if he still does that as a professional, but was eating a bag of gummy bears and tripped and fell on some stairs and spilled gummy bears all over the stairs. They went out and beat Ohio State, who came in as the number 2 team, undefeated. They beat them. And then before every game, Tommy would go up to the flight of stairs that he dropped the gummy bears in the previous game, and he'd spill some more gummy bears, leave them, and walk off. And he laughed about it and said, yeah, the janitors were probably pissed, but that's just what I did for the next 6-7 games of the year. And that turned out to be his superstition that only lasted that year. I think when they lost their bowl game that year, he'd stopped doing it.
Okay, so the
basketball superstitions, and then he's like, I don't have any. Oh, but here's one.
Yeah, I don't have any, but I did. So there's no maintenance person at Mosaic Stadium cleaning up gummy bears after games for the Rough Riders. But you got to, we chatted with him. He was a guest on the Green Zone this week.
Really personable.
Yeah,
guy.
He's a good dude. Hey, Taylor.
Yeah, really good dude. Easy to talk to. And I wrote about this, I think it was last week, maybe the week prior to the bye week. He's probably the guy, if you look at on this roster, he's the best at doing his job. I would say maybe Logan Ferland is the second best. Jordan Hughes would be another guy. But given your role on the team, how are you doing it to the best of your ability? And I would say, yeah, Jordan Hughes, Logan Ferland, and Tommy Stevens would be the top three best at their job, right? They're almost near perfect in what they do. And, he's been a welcome addition to this team for sure with all the short yardage struggles they've had.
Taylor, if you start breaking down these two teams on paper, there are some comparable things like running game and quarterback, and I'm curious if you think that the Stamps have an edge in one category or maybe one or more.
To be honest, I don't think so. Okay, maybe the quarterback's mobility. How about that? Vernon Adams is a little bit more mobile than Trevor Harris.
Yeah, okay. Well,
other than that, though, I think the Riders check all the boxes. Calgary, their defense has played really well to start the season. However, they haven't played every team. And, you know, I think by the time we get to week 12, 13, 14, that's really when the stats sort of level out in terms of who you actually are. They've had a good start to the season. You've got to give them credit for that. But I don't know if they can sustain that for the rest of the season. I think Saskatchewan's defense is stronger. Even without Tavon Campbell, Antoine Brooks is going to come in. He's still a good enough player to hold down that cornerback spot. Saskatchewan has obviously great linebackers, great defensive line. I don't think Calgary's run defense is that great. So that can maybe something that Saskatchewan can exploit, especially with Kadeem Carey in the lineup. I don't know how much he'll play behind AJ Ouellette, but that's something. Maybe their kicking game. How about that? Kicking game and quarterback mobility. But Brett Lawther, when he's on. So.
Well, even Rene Paradis this year has been a little bit. I think he missed three kicks already this year, which is rare for the firefighter from Calgary, Alberta.
I think I would take the kicking room from the Stamps, though.
Well, punting, though, Taylor, I was looking at the numbers. Joe Couch is at the bottom of the league in punting right now when it comes to net punting.
But then every once in a while he'll have a ball.
Yeah, he is. Then he'll light one for 70, Taylor. He is a little hot and cold off the foot of the Aussie.
Yeah, and that was one of the training camp battles we watched. And Coach was actually released and thought about going home, back to Australia. He stuck around on Jordan Hughes' couch for a week, then was re-signed after Bailey Flint didn't have that good a performance. I think that maybe is the weakest part of this Riders roster, especially after what we saw from Adam Korsak the last couple of years. There has been a large drop-off in that position. Maybe that's the only position they didn't upgrade this offseason. So, they do have another punter on the roster. Whether or not we see him at some point, we'll see. But the numbers certainly could improve.
Taylor Shire joining us, Regina Leader Post, ahead of tonight's game. It is the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders at Mosaic Stadium. Right from the hop, Taylor, from the Instagram post this offseason to watching him run at training camp, AJ Ouellette has been every part of a renewed player that we and Rider Nation was hoping to see, hasn't he? Like the start of this season has been phenomenal for number 45, and a lot more of the guy they expected when they signed him in the last offseason.
Yeah, you're exactly right. If he would have come in a year prior and done this, I think that's exactly what people expected. Oh, yeah, great running back, comes over from Toronto, here he is. But the fact that he had that down year, was hampered by injuries, it left a bit of a bad taste in some people's mouths. Why did they pay him this much money to come in and sit on the injured list? But he's totally redeeming himself this year already. He had a few 90-yard games, which essentially were, you know, one carry away from being 300-yard games this season, so had a big performance before the bye week, and he's going to be a guy, again, I think they're going to rely on tonight. Again, I don't know how much Kadeem Carey will play. He'll get a few snaps here and there, but same as what they did against Hamilton. I think AJ got, say, two-thirds of the carries, if not more, and Kadeem had four or five. So I think, it'll be a let's night again tonight to let him carry the ball.
Taylor, just based on the matchup and the fact that both teams have had quite a bit of success running the ball, I mean, it's hard to judge exactly how much they're going to run the ball. But do you think we're going to have a situation where we see more running than we have, generally speaking, when Trevor Harris is in the lineup as opposed to Jake?
I think we'll see a good mix from both. I don't expect it to be run-heavy or pass-heavy tonight, and the same goes for Calgary. Dedrick Mills has had a great start to the season, and the one strange thing is that Saskatchewan's defensive line, we talk about how good they are all the time and how good they were even last season against the run, but then they just let James Butler for the bye week go for 100 and some yards. So they're going to want to redeem themselves after that. They know Dedrick is a good back, so I honestly expect a good mix, but when it's working, you're going to stick with it. So whatever is working, right? If the Riders can shut down Mills right away in the first quarter and a bit, then Vernon's going to have to pass a little bit more or rush himself. And the same goes for the Riders. If Calgary's shutting down the run, they're going to have to pass more. And obviously who's winning and the lead and the score all dictates all that. So I expect, I guess, balanced offenses from both teams tonight.
Well, Taylor, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time, and I'll see you upstairs at Mosaic a little later on tonight.
Awesome. Thanks for the chat. Enjoy the game, guys.
That is Taylor Shire, Regina Leader Post, of course, is where you can find the Rider coverage there. And, of course, he and Daryl Davis, they have their own podcast. I know Britton and I, their Rider Rumblings podcast with Taylor Shire and Daryl Davis for all their coverage. You can check it out there. Of course, Daryl and Belton will join me at 5 o'clock. For the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Stamps. Interesting conversation we're having. Who's your favorite Rider? Right now, this team, there's been a lot of turnover the last couple of years. And we're like, who is Rider Nation's favorite player? Let us know, 1-877-332-8255. We've seen some Roland Milligan Jr., Kian Schaefer-Baker, A.J. Oletz getting some love as well.
Logan Furlan came in.
1-877-332-8255. That's the text line right here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Pushing around with a vain Jesus.
This is also on the playlist. Little Wheat Kings, Tragically Hip.
Milgard?
David Milgard.
David Milgard. Interesting story. It's interesting Gord jumped into a couple of those. Very, very Canadian, obviously, the Tragically Hip, but he wrote and did it right until his death. He tried to tell our story.
Absolutely.
Through music.
The David Milgard story, serving 20 years for a crime he didn't commit from the murder in Saskatoon. So
I was at that show when they brought him on stage.
Wheat Kings on the list of our Saskatchewan road trip playlist, 1-877-332-8255. You can add to that. But the texts are coming in on our question of the day here on the Green Zone. With all the changeover in Saskatchewan the last two, three seasons, who's your favorite Rider now? A couple of people just texted in. Number four, Micah Johnson. What is it with the number four? Kerry Joseph? Darian Durant, Micah Johnson,
popular
fan
number.
Favorites,
yeah.
Wearing number four. Gaynor.
Can we? I was going to ask you, can we count Gaynor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Then he wears a jersey.
Got a handful of votes.
He wears 13. Nobody else can wear 13 because he's got it. So I think he counts. Then they say for a player, it's
right
Jameer
now,
Thurman.
At the top, we have a tie for A.J. Ouellette, who's playing well this year, and KSB.
Kian Schaefer-Baker.
I can't even speak, but I can see a smile. I can see a smile.
Good Sasky band right there. Little Wide Mouth Mason on this Friday. All Request Friday. Keep Locker working on that Spotify playlist, the Green Zone Saskatchewan Road Trip playlist. that I'm sure Drew Remenda is going to slide onto his Spotify on his way to Edmonton this summer.
Get in the fast lane, Kramer. The bingo game is ready to roll.
It's time to drop the gloves.
Let it into the box. Whoa! Watch the boxes, Ty. Watch the boxes.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hey, Drew, you think?
No, I listen to you guys as long as I can until the signal falls out.
You do, don't you?
And then I do, and then I turn off the radio after that.
Why? You don't listen to any Edmonton radio when you go in to see the granddaughter? Or?
No? No, and then on the way back, I'm not allowed to listen to anything because, Papa, it's too loud. So, there you go. That's it. I do have a question for you guys, though, and it's more, I guess, for the big voice that you guys have, the big voice that introduces everybody, right, and introduces everything.
Yeah.
On replays, because I do the drive sometimes when I'm dropping off in one day, on the replays, I'm a little confused because it says, first of all, the big voice comes on, introduces who you guys are, and this is instant replay. And that's not true because it's being played several hours later. And then he says, recorded earlier. Well, of course it's recorded earlier. We know that because you just said it was an instant replay. Erroneously instant, but you said that. So I'd like that corrected because it should be more direct and unconfusing.
We'll send a note.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get Dallas on that for you, Drew.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do, you guys, because it irritates me because Jamie knows how literal I am on everything.
Don't say his feet left the ice. That's not what happened at all.
You can say his feet left the ice.
Oh, the feet left the ice. He left his feet.
He left his feet.
Exactly. That's the one. Exactly. That's the one.
I've already been in trouble for that one.
Okay,
anyway,
Drew.
How you doing, boys?
Very good. Remember all the talk about the Oilers' depth, Drew Remenda?
Yep. We did.
So let me go through this. Victor Arvidsson, gone. Connor Brown's gone. Evander Kane is gone.
Corey Perry
is gone. Jeff Skinner is now a San Jose Shark, apparently. Klingberg is gone.
Sharks.
But they traded for the Hobie Baker Award winner in Ike Howard. Don't call him Isaac. He goes by Ike now. How do you feel about this shift in Edmonton with the pending extension and Leon's extension? Of course, I'm talking about Connor McDavid's extension coming up, and then Leon Draisaitl, of course, now on the books. Like, is this now a concern again for the Oilers in their depth?
Well, I think it's always a concern for them with their depth because they're so reliant on two or three guys. When, you know, and Locke and I talked about this last week, that I always look at free agency and teams making moves, and sometimes they are by our own doing, the media, that is, we make such a big deal of who won this and who won that in free agency. And really, it still takes 82 games and four rounds of playoffs to decide who made the right moves. But they were the oldest team in the league, if I remember correctly, or one of the oldest teams in the league.
No, they were the oldest, I think.
The oldest team in the league.
Yeah.
And they had guys expiring on their contracts, and they weren't going to be able to re-sign them and think they were going to be able to do the same thing that they did the last 2 years, which is go for that deep run into the Stanley Cup Finals. They needed to bring in some youth and some speed. Now, the problem is, as you mentioned, you've got the extenuating circumstances of contracts, which is always kind of a pesky little thing nowadays in a cap world, that you've got potentially with Connor coming in next year at, let's say it's the max, or let's say he even takes a discount. If it goes up to 104, his max is $20 million. So you got four guys who are $50 million. That's tough. I don't care who you are. You're going to be take up basically almost half of your salary cap.
Sounds like the Leafs.
It sounds like the Leafs, exactly. And you don't want that. You want to be able to spread it out. But that's just, you pay your big guys the heavy dollars. But overall with the Edmonton Oilers, fine. You got rid of these guys, the older guys. You got rid of these contracts, fine, because they were on a one-year short-term contracts anyway. You knew eventually you were going to get rid of them and move along. Who are you replacing them with? I like the Mangiapane signing. I think it's a good signing. Curtis Lazar.
I like Mangiapane, too.
Yeah,
you were making fun of me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Drew.
I was making fun of you?
No, I was.
Jamie, Mangiapane, there's the difference maker you need for a Stanley Cup playoff run.
Yeah, but Jamie, you know as well as I do. You're looking at the difference in their playoff run. The difference for the Edmonton Oilers in a playoff run is Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, who was injured, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Bouchard, who honestly, $10 million, you knew it was coming. You knew he was going to get that money, but he needs to score a hell of a lot defensively.
Yeah.
And a healthy Ekholm and goaltending, and Stuart Skinner and Pickard took a ton of the heat, which goaltenders do. But really, when you're looking across and you're looking around the league, goaltenders I can see certain guys that you look at that could change a series for you. But the only guy who is the money goaltender in the league right now plays for the Florida Panthers. Everybody else is a distant second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what I saw, Drew, that I thought was weird is the projected lineups for next year, and it could change 100 times before we get there. But
it will.
But why has everybody got Howard on that first line? Do you know something about his game that
I watched him play? We get a lot of NCAA down in the States when you watch it. He's a hell of a good player, not very big, 5'11". He has got a handful of good skill around the net, great hands. And if you look at the last 10 Hobie Baker winners, they're extremely, extremely talented hockey players. Years before, we wouldn't have said anything about Hobie Baker winners. Like, yeah, who the hell's that? Who's Hobie Baker? We would even ask. Nowadays, when you start looking at Hobie Baker winners, you're looking at really skilled hockey players. He's got a high level of skill. He's a hard worker. He is an older guy, so he's mature because you get the college guys are
22,
older guys, right? A little bit more mature than the 18-year-olds coming in. You put him up there because you want to give a guy who's got all that talent and all that offensive ability the best chance to succeed. But lineups, as you guys know, those lines get changed day in, day out. The one thing you can count on with coaches is that their whiteboard gets written on and erased thousands of times during a season.
Yeah, I went back actually, Drew, yesterday or the day before when the trade was like, what is the success rate of the Hobie Baker, a winner, being an NHL superstar? And there's a line, right? 2014 is where the line starts because that was Johnny Gaudreau, and then it was Jack Eichel, and then Jimmy Vesey, who was a big name, hasn't really worked out. But you also have Cale Makar and Cole Caulfield and Adam Fantilli and Macklin Celebrini and now Ike Howard. Before that, oh boy, Ryan Miller, Chris Drury way back in 98, Brendan Morrison, I guess, in 97, Paul Kariya in 93. Like, we're going way back to find a couple of guys. It's been a lot more recent.
You're getting higher in talents in the NCAA now.
Gavin
McKenna
is going to be there.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, by the way, Drew, with Gavin McKenna making that commitment and making some money at Penn State and the impact it'll have on the CHL?
I think this is the first big step we saw. We knew what was going to happen when the CHL and the NCAA were able to come to this agreement to move the players that played in the WHL or the CHL, I should say, weren't able to play after that for the NCAA. Now they are. I think it's a great move for Gavin McKenna. He said it, going to play against older guys, bigger guys, stronger guys, and he only has to play 2 games a week, and he gets all that training and all that that season in work during the season off ice into the facilities that these teams have were absolutely amazing. And he gets to make $700,000. It's the NCAA. We can talk all kinds of things if you want, but with transfer portal, which is more in basketball than anything else. But for Gavin McKenna, he gets to expand his hockey playing ability, and he makes some money in the meantime.
Yeah.
Good for him. And he gets to experience some campus life, which, from what I'm told, is not too bad.
I'm curious about your thoughts on the Oilers didn't make the changes that everybody wanted them to make in goaltending, but they are seeming to shuffle the deck here on the coaching side of things. Glenn's on his way to Dallas.
Yep.
You've got Schultz on his way out. I'm not sure where he's landed yet, if he has. And then Pelche is on his way to work with Glenn in Dallas as well. That was probably one of those things where, hey, Glenn probably got in his ear, right?
Yeah, they're good friends.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I thought there. So does this fix the team?
What are you talking about, Dustin Schwartz getting canned or whatever the rumor is?
Yeah.
First off, Dustin Schwartz, I know from the days when he came in when my first year with Sportsnet. Dustin Schwartz is an outstanding guy. You ask any goalie that's played for him and played with him and worked with him, they will tell you he is an all-time great one. When you're looking at coaching staff, and I will tell you what I told Ken Hitchcock, and it was one day after. Now I would Dallas Aikens had been there when I was there, and then Todd Nelson, and then Todd McClellan, and then Ken Hitchcock. And it was after a game on the road. I came on the plane, and I didn't say a lot to Ken. Ken knew I was very close to Todd, and I don't know how much Ken really trusted me as far as my allegiance to his coaching staff. But then I walked in the plane one day after a particularly interesting game on the road, and I stopped because I was one of the last guys. And I leaned over, I said, Ken, I'm going to tell you what Todd McClellan, Todd Nelson, Dallas Eakins knew, had to find out, and you're now finding it out. It's not about the coaching. And he looked at me and he smiled and he went, thanks. I went, you're welcome. It's not about the coaching. Are you telling me that Dustin Schwartz or Glenn, well, Glenn did a hell of a job with them. That's an interesting hire as well. But when you look at it, I mean, Dustin Schwartz, he was the problem of that for that one more or two more wins in the final round. it's ridiculous. But that's coaching is coaching in the NHL. It has become the least. Jamie, you were the guy that told me the stat. It's become the least secure professional coaching gig in North America in any of the sports. But it is the one, was it 2.5 years is the mm-hmm. is the average? Yeah, that's not long. So that's just the nature of the business. When I look at it, I think about it, yeah, okay. That's the last move a general manager makes before he's gonna try to defend his
Martin St. Louis is now a senior coach in the
he's like the fourth longest tenured coach. He's been there for 3 years, not even 3 years.
I couldn't believe ridiculous. That.
By the way, Drew, let's leave it off with this. Are you excited for more of these moments during the NHL draft?
Why don't you guys say hello to James Higgins?
Thank you for taking me.
I think we might have some technical difficulties.
Yeah. Apparently the managers want to keep the decentralized draft, Drew Romanda.
And I think it works great, except that part. I actually thought the draft was good, too damn long, but that TV production, taking them over and talking to them, sorry, no, not doing that. If you want to do that, take them over off camera, record it, and then cut some pieces together later on to show. But I thought the decentralized draft worked well as far as for the teams. They loved it. They thought that's the way it should go. But the whole bring the guy over, I get it.
It was awful.
I understand it.
Can they get a host?
Like Gary Bettman's
Gary
not
off the stage.
I thought Gary did great job.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I called him Gary. I thought Mr. Bettman did a great job. Here's the one
awful.
Thing, though. Really?
I thought he was awful.
When he started to read like a voiceover, I was like, "Oh my goodness, what are we doing?"
Well,
right now,
I thought he was great. I thought he did a great job. So, I thought this whole thing was great. I'm surprised that Canadian hockey fans, like you two guys, didn't like Mr. Bettman. I was surprised at the time.
What are you talking about? Gare Bear? I love Mr. Bettman.
I was yelling at the TV the whole time he was on.
Get off stage!
And because Mr. Bettman hates the NHL, that's why. I understand why.
Well, actually, Jamie and I both think that they did that. Bettman and the NHL made it bad because he didn't like the idea.
Yeah, apparently Bettman didn't want the decentralized draft. The managers did.
No, he didn't. The managers want it. Yeah, because one, it saves on cost, you guys. It's a huge amount of cost to fly everybody out there. It saves a lot of hassles.
And they like their rooms and everything. Like they like all their gear.
Well, look at the NFL. They have these huge draft rooms. Yeah. You don't want to be talking and whispering with the team that's drafting next.
No.
2 feet away from you and can just walk by and do a little.
But
what
Drew's
are talking about.
But Drew's like, right, though. There are things they could do.
Yeah, do what the ESPN does on the NFL draft. They have the script.
You record all these calls that they make and play them back. Don't do it live.
Cut it on the fly.
Let's put them on Zoom right now. See how that goes, because Zoom's reliable.
I didn't hate the celebrities. I liked that part. Like Adam Sandler coming out and the wrestler.
Well, that's a little bit of the NFL flair that they've started to do.
I like for Bailey. By the way, hey, Bailey, I interviewed Bailey this season in San Jose. She's a San Jose girl.
She was awesome.
She used to come to Sharks games all the time.
Did you see Steve Simmons get roasted on Twitter for that?
Yeah.
He called Bailey some no-name wrestler and got flamed. Are you talking about the most popular female wrestler in the last decade, Steve?
I don't watch wrestling, and I knew she was
WWE.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew she was huge as soon as I saw her.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, that's Drew Romanda. Have a good weekend, Drew, and enjoy the Saskatchewan Road Trip playlist.
Okay, guys.
I'll send it to you, Drew.
There is our NHL analyst, Drew Romanda, here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.